at Home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we certainly would love to hear from you. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And remember, you can always listen to our show as a podcast. Just go out to EWTN Podcast Central, ewtn.com/radio/podcast, or wherever you happen to listen to your podcasts. And I know that during this time, we tend to get busy, and we need to maybe slow down, listen to some spiritual enrichment. And there are many good podcasts out there, but keep it on EWTN, and your Advent will be blessed. Well, today, we are welcoming Father Franklin Formicon to our show. Now, Father Franklin is originally from Cameroon, West Africa, where he grew up in a Catholic family, being the sixth of seven children. He studied at St. John Mary Vianney Spiritual Center and then to St. Thomas Aquinas Major Seminary in Cameroon, which is an affiliate to the Pontifical Urban Ministry in Rome. He was ordained a priest April 15, 2004, and he now serves as a missionary to the Diocese of Birmingham since 2018, and our diocese is richly blessed to have him. He currently serves as an administrator to two churches, St. Charles Borromeo in Jacksonville, Alabama, and St. Joachim in Piedmont, Alabama. And he is also the spiritual director to the Arise Worship Ministry in Birmingham, Alabama, and the Catholic Women's Association of Atlanta. He's a very busy man. Today, he is here to speak with us about how to properly engage with the beauty of the Advent season and how it serves as a gift to the church in preparation for Christmas. We need his wisdom, we need his spirit, and we need his presence here. And so we're happy to have him on at home today, and you will be blessed, I promise.
Beautiful preparatory time for Christmas here, getting ready for the second coming of the Lord this week, getting ready for impending deaths and to meet him face to face. His perpetual coming day by day, the Holy Eucharist, he's with us always, even to the end of the age, and is coming to us, gestating in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, protected by Saint Joseph. God with skin, God with a face, God made poor. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Guest today is Father Franklin Formicon, and we are delighted to have him with us today. He's been on our show before, but it's been a while.
It has been.
Well, Father, we are so happy to have you. We want you first to tell our family a little bit about Father Franklin, where you're from, and how God made you a priest, and then we're going to talk about Advent.
Thank you, Jim and Joy. It's such a delight always to be at your show. I always say, at home with Jim and Joy in Sweet Home, Alabama.
There you go. It all works. And it goes out to the whole world.
To the whole world. I studied in St. Thomas Aquinas Major Seminary in Bambui, which is an affiliate of the Pontifical Urban University in Rome. And I'm a family of seven siblings, and I have three brothers, myself as one of them, and four sisters. And I'm a cradle Catholic. I grew up in Cameroon, the west of Africa, right by the Atlantic Ocean. You know, my church and my elementary school is just about 10 feet away from the Atlantic Ocean.
Wow.
So all of that We saw God's beauty of creation growing up as a child. And it's been a beautiful thing growing up as a Catholic. And I will tell you one of the remarkable things, the same bishop who gave me confirmation in the junior seminary was the same bishop who ordained me priest.
Wow, that is beautiful.
The same priest who gave me First Communion was sitting right next to me when I celebrated my first Mass as a priest. I thought those were all great blessings.
They are, for them and you.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's just about family, and it's a beautiful thing growing up in a Catholic family in Cameroon. And it's a country of about 30 million people with three basic religions, Christianity, Islam, and African traditional religion. But Christianity is the largest. And of Christianity, Catholics are the largest. So there's that strong family bonding, which is tied to our faith also growing up. And it's just been amazing.
What are the major languages? And then how many other languages or dialects are there? Because I thought I read something that's like tremendous.
Yeah, we have actually three basic languages, English, French, and Creole, Pidgin English. But only two are permitted in school and in public places. You know, Creole is like for the street language in the markets and all of that. But we also use it in church because it's a language understood by all. But then again, interestingly, we have over 250 dialects.
Oh my gosh.
And that's why the dialects are not permitted in schools because someone shouldn't feel like you're talking about them.
Right.
But interestingly, if you talk to someone from a different...
like a region, a different
village,
area. Yeah.
A different village. You could say it's like a German talking to a Russian.
Yeah.
They'll have no clue what you are probably saying.
Right.
So we come back to English or to French to express ourselves, or better still, Pidgin English, which I love so much.
Did the Germans play a role in your nation? I thought I read that someplace, but maybe I'm wrong.
Interestingly, Cameroon is originally a German colony.
Okay.
Yes. It's a German colony, but it didn't really leave us much of culture and education plan and all of that until we came under the League of Nations after the war, gave Cameroon to Britain and to France as trust territories. That's where we pick up all of these, and we have quite a lot of missionaries, like the St. Joseph Mill Hill missionaries from London, who came into our own part of the English-speaking part of the country. They just brought us this great gift of faith, and it's been just amazing living with them.
So when your diocese shared you with the United States, was Birmingham the first place you came to?
Birmingham was the first place.
Okay.
And interestingly, I can tell you a little bit of background to that. When I was ordained, we were two of us in my class ordained for the same diocese. And immediately after ordination, I had to go teach back in the same junior seminary where I studied. And my other classmate went to college to do a degree in communication. And then he found himself in UAB.
Oh my goodness.
And then when he got here to study, I had made a promise at ordination, and he knows that well. I said I was not going to take vacation until after, if God willing, 12 years of my priesthood. And I wanted to give each year in honor of each of the 12 apostles. And the 12th year was when he was graduating. And he said to me, this is the 12th year. It's my graduation year. You got to come.
Yeah.
That's how I found myself here the first time in 2016.
Wow.
Meantime, he had told the members of the Birmingham Charismatic that I could be a speaker. So I was already to be a speaker without even knowing whom I was going to speak to. So I spoke at that first coming at the Charismatic Conference. And the following year, I was requested again to come. And then the next thing I got was a letter from the bishop to my own bishop asking if I could come permanently.
Wow.
And I'm here.
Isn't God great? I love that.
God's
and
plans.
What a gift you have been to our diocese. I remember hearing you for the first time was you were at a parish here in town. It's called Our Lady of Sorrows, and you were an associate there working. And we, Her Choice Birmingham Women's Center, our pregnancy center, your parish would always do a birthday party for Jesus when Father, right. under Father Muller. It was so beautiful. And so we went because we had to go pick up the gifts and speak to the children and stuff. And you got up in the pulpit. I don't even know if you remember this. And you got up in the pulpit and you were preaching about Advent. And then you broke out in a song. And when you started to sing, the Holy Spirit fell in that church. I said to Jim, who is he? I mean, it was so beautiful. And I felt immediately in love with you.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit, and then my grandchildren who were up in Huntsville, Alabama, and in Alexander City, they would follow you. And they would like, Nona, Babo, do you know Father Franklin? I mean, they are followers of Father Franklin. So that was, what an impact you've had. And that's just my little people. And just imagine how God has used you mightily.
When he was preaching that day, I was with you at that. And I said, I think he's going to fly out mm-hmm. of the pulpit.
Yeah, no, it was so beautiful, Father.
I said, I think he's going to like you. You know, I guess because the Lord and the Word were coming through you like an mm-hmm. instrument. You know,
it was just so beautiful.
He could fly.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
So we had you on the show shortly after that.
Yes, and I think that was the third Sunday of Advent.
Yes,
which
yes.
was the Gaudete Sunday.
Right.
You know,
of that and
great
we were to
joy.
Rejoice, right?
Yes, because he's so close.
Right.
Something great promised long ago
mm-hmm.
is just soon to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be indifferent.
Right.
You can't be lukewarm.
Right.
It's just got to burst out.
Well, it was bubbling in your soul, and it came out. It was beautiful.
Well, yeah, I didn't realize that it was during the season of Advent and Gaudete Sunday. So let's continue along that stream, along that line, because time will go by here quickly. And so you're here to share with us your thoughts and theology and union with the Lord during the season of Advent to encourage our family. So what are you thinking in terms of the season?
The season of Advent is such a unique season in the life of the church. First of all, it is New Year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I told people in church on Sunday, I say,
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And they're like, what's up with
so
Father?
What's going on? It's a season that begins the new year of the mm-hmm. church's liturgical calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And that joy that comes with it speaks of a preparation, as Advent itself says. There is a coming. There is something we are waiting. And we cannot just wait like we are just still, mm-hmm. you know? There is something we are looking forward to. And what is that? It is the Word, soon to take human flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The church now gives us these 4 weeks of preparation. It's such an intense time, a time of looking forward to, a time of doing all of this spiritual preparation in order to receive this great gift. This is the incarnation we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
God is soon to become visible in human flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Our human eyes are going to behold him. We can't just walk into this like there's nothing to prepare
right.
for.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing which I call attention to is what I call the 5 P's. Okay, the P, 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 P. Proper preparation prevents poor performance.
Mm-hmm.
Say it again, Father.
Proper preparation prevents poor performance.
Excellent.
So if you have to perform great in receiving Christ at Christmas,
mm-hmm.
proper preparation
mm-hmm.
is required. And this is not just the material, the commercial
mm-hmm.
Christmas preparation. It is the intense human spiritual preparation for such a wonderful gift, which the world is awaiting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you go from scripture, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, the verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. This Word we had known in the book of Genesis,
mm-hmm.
it was this Word that the Logos, that things came to be. And now in John chapter 1, the verse 14, it says, et incarnatus est.
Mm-hmm.
This Word is taking human form. It's mm-hmm. becoming carnal.
Mm.
What a gift.
It is beautiful.
So we need to go through a time of adequate preparation mm-hmm. to receive this gift. I told people, I said, those who have already gone quite ahead and they're already at Christmas, you probably have to back up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We got to go through. I love we have the Advent wreath right here. Mm-hmm. We got to go through all the candles mm-hmm. before we get there.
It takes time.
Mm-hmm. But Advent seems to be one of the seasons that is so cheated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? People just want to jump into Christmas because of the excitement for it. But I think we need this intense time, even through the sacraments,
mm-hmm.
prayers, you know, pilgrimages,
mm-hmm.
in this holy jubilee year
right.
of hope. Mm-hmm. And that's the first candle.
Mm-hmm.
The first candle is the candle of hope. You know, we go back to Romans chapter 5, the verse 5. Hope does not deceive.
Yes. And that is so beautiful. And the ways that we can prepare. And the church has the seven sacraments for us and to prepare in that way. One that we want to, it's a great interior work that God wants to do. Yes, you know, we can make everything beautiful on the outside and set up things and do things, but God mm-hmm. is trying to fix us on the inside because we're all broken and we all need Jesus. And so we need to avail ourselves of confession. Right? We need to take our sorry, sin-filled selves into the confession booth and cry out to God and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and make ourselves right with him. And so parishes sometimes have Advent retreats, right? They'll do a little Advent gathering for the people where they can go and have reflection, right?
Right.
Which is a good thing.
Parish retreats, parish recollections,
mm-hmm.
and also penitential services,
mm-hmm.
which I love the way we do it around my own deanery,
mm-hmm.
where we have different days, we take up different parishes so that they have more priests to make their choice to do right. the sacrament of reconciliation,
mm-hmm.
which is so important to have the renewal of the human person
mm-hmm.
in order to better appreciate this gift which we're soon to receive.
Yeah.
As you're sharing, I keep coming back to preparing for the one we're going to see. And you know, the Word of God says that nothing unclean can be in the presence of God. That's one of the reasons why we believe in purgation as
right.
well.
Right.
Because if you're going through purgation or purgatory, you're destined for heaven, yet there's some contamination that is still with us. And that's what this season is about, understanding as best we can the magnitude of who this is, this God with skin, God made poor, God with a face. Never mind the second coming of the Lord, where every mouth is shut and we're before him face to face. And I think that's what I hear you saying. So if I just close this out with a word, we're going to have to take a break at this point. What word do you want to leave for our family today?
Advent is that one great season of preparation.
Mm.
Prepare spiritually, prepare humanly, and one thing I want to remark on, the world has a lot of people. We need to see a lot of humanity.
Mm. Amen. Mm.
Thank you so much, Father.
Thank you,
God we have you again on Thursday to be with us tomorrow, and you'll be sharing again on Advent, but also on Christmas, on Christmas.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. Father John Paul is here with us today to give his thoughts. Please don't go away.
Back. Well, we went from the holy man in black in Father Franklin, and now to the holy man in brown with Father John Paul, who's been very busy and been traveling a lot. Yeah. He's here today, and we are glad to have you, and a blessed Advent to you.
Did I see you shaking the Pope's hand?
Yeah, yes. What about that?
That wasn't like just put in there, that was real.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. It wasn't AI, it was really
no,
you.
No, I had the opportunity to meet Pope Leo the 14th. Mm-hmm. And right after I celebrated Mass in the crypt of St. Peter's, which on a Wednesday, that's really rare. We had somebody that we know who got us a special Mass in the crypt of St. Peter's, close to the bones of the Apostle St. Yeah. Peter. And as we're going out, Michael Warsaw and Scott Brown gave me basically a present. Mm-hmm. They said, you're going to meet the Pope today. And I didn't know it. That morning I woke up not knowing that I was going to meet the Holy Father. And it was a huge surprise and really, I don't know, I think connected to everything that I've gone through the last 3 months of my life, kind of being there with and for my dad at the end of his life. Mm-hmm. And helping him, ushering him into eternal life. And then 10 days later, packing up and going over to Rome for 35 days to mm-hmm. be with our employees in Rome. Being in the presence of the Holy Father, who mm-hmm. he represents. He's really the father of Christianity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had a lot of chance to reflect upon the gift of fatherhood. Mm-hmm. You know, being at my dad's side at the end of his life and watching him take his last breath, mm-hmm. actually presiding over and preaching at his funeral, and then being able to bury him in the ground. And there's nothing so final as when you put someone mm-hmm. into the ground, mm-hmm. And then to watch dirt being put on, you know, the coffin or the urn in his mm-hmm. case. It was, yeah, that was very final mm-hmm. To me. And then to go over to Rome and to be in the presence of the Pope, the Holy Father, I think I have a new appreciation, I think, of, mm-hmm. of the gift of fatherhood.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's something that Christianity is meant to bring, is you always learn more about the doctrines of the faith that we profess. Doctrines are meant to be, you know, not just contained in a book, but doctrines are meant to be, you know, lived actually in the body and experienced, as Father said so beautifully about, you know, living humanity. Mm-hmm. You know, God became man. Mm-hmm. God took on flesh.
Yes.
You know, God made poor. God mm-hmm. with skin. Right. God with a face.
Father, unfortunately, we've got to close out the show. Your sharing was just beautiful about sure. your dad you. And about meeting the Holy Father.
Sure.
Close us out with a prayer and blessing, please.
Family, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may he turn his face to you and be merciful to you. May he show you his kindness and give you his peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thank you. Be sure to join us tomorrow. We continue our conversation with Father Franklin. And Father got a surprise. You're going to meet the Holy Father today. And we may get a surprise to meet Jesus face to face with his coming, or that our lives might conclude here on earth. That will be the ultimate mm-hmm. meeting with the Heavenly Father. Are we ready for that? Maybe, maybe not, but we want to be as best that we can. God bless you and all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. You're an important part of this family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.